Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, July 10th, 2022, Romans.
All right, did anybody get frostbite? Come in. See, you have something to thank God for. You don't have to worry about frostbite. See? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, we are in verse 22. Romans 4, 22. And in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, that you have blessed us with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in Romans. We're in the last paragraph of chapter 4, and then we are off and running in chapter 5. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 is the key here, because after verse 16 of Romans 4, there is a parenthesis, verses 17 to 21. The parenthesis looks at Abraham as a pattern for spiritual maturity. Romans 4, 16 is Abraham as a pattern for the whole world for salvation. And it's going to be picked up again after the parenthesis in verses 22 through 25, continuing with the fact that Abraham is the pattern for the whole human race for eternal salvation. Romans 4:16. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith, faith in Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace, so that the promise of salvation, may be guaranteed to all the spiritual sons of Abraham, not only to the ones who are of the law, Jews who believe in Jesus Christ, but also to the ones who are of the faith of Abraham, Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ. He, Abraham, is the pattern of salvation for all of us, for Jews and Gentiles. Now, after that, the great parenthesis of Abraham as a pattern for spiritual maturity, 17 to 21. But verse 16 picks up again at verse 22. Verse 22 sounds like this, therefore also it, faith in Christ, was imputed to him, Abraham, as righteousness, divine righteousness from God. And the key here in verse 22 is it starts out dio kai, an inferential conjunction dio plus the conjunction kai. And Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, I tell this to you so that you can go home and look up an A and G and make sure that I am just didn't have a bad dream or something. See, Arnton Gingrich, page 197, tells us that when dio is followed by the conjunction chi, which is what we have, it should be translated therefore also, denoting that the inference is self-evident. Looking back at verse 16, Abraham's faith in Christ for salvation is self-evident. And so verse 22 picks up, it continues and concludes the verse started in verse 16. Therefore also it, faith in Christ, was imputed to Abraham as righteousness. And this introduces also a very, very important doctrine in the Word of God, and that is the doctrine of imputation. And it's from the Greek word logizomai. L-O-G-I-Z-O-M-A-I. Logizomai. And this word is the Greek word for the doctrine of imputation. It means to impute. It means to credit to someone's account. It means to credit something to someone. Therefore also it, faith in Christ, was imputed to him, logizomai, imputed to him, Abraham, as righteousness. Well, we just got started in the doctrine of imputation, and I'm not going to give you on Sunday morning the entire doctrine of imputation, just part of it, the part that applies to what we're studying, and that is the two judicial imputations, because there are judicial imputations and there are real imputations. The real imputations don't apply to our passage. So we are going to be focusing on the two judicial imputations in the Word of God. Logizomai means to reckon, to attribute, to ascribe, to charge to one's account. Imputation is used in the Bible in both a legal sense for condemnation and in a gracious sense for blessing. There are two categories of imputation, real imputations and judicial imputations. Real imputations is where the justice of God imputes under the principle of antecedents and affinity. What is imputed has an affinity for that to which it is imputed. In a real imputation, what is imputed is in harmony, agreement, affinity with the target of the imputation. There are five of those in the Word of God. We're not going to be studying those in our passage. The second category is judicial imputations, where the justice of God imputes what is not antecedently one's own. And therefore, there is no affinity, no home or target between what is imputed and the recipient. And therefore, only one factor exists, namely, what is imputed. And therefore, the great emphasis is placed on the source of the judicial imputations, which is the justice of God. There is no harmony, no agreement, no affinity between the imputation and the object of the imputation. In the plan of God, there are two judicial imputations, which we are studying, and five real imputations. The two judicial imputations, personal sins of the whole human race, were imputed to Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. That was so that Christ could solve the world problem of sin. And the other judicial imputation, perfect righteousness of God, is imputed to the believer at the point of salvation. The five real imputations, we're not going to be studying those, but there are two real imputations at physical birth. At the moment you are born, you are imputed, human life is imputed to the soul. You are born physically alive. And Adam's original sin is imputed to the genetically formed old sin nature. You are born spiritually dead. So two real imputations at physical birth, human life to the soul, and Adam's original sin to the sin nature. And there is a real imputation at spiritual birth. Eternal life is imputed to the human spirit at spiritual birth. And then blessings in time, imputed to perfect righteousness down the grace pipeline, and blessings in eternity imputed to the resurrection body at the judgment seat of Christ. These imputations form the basis for God's plan for mankind. In our study in Romans chapter 3, we are focusing on the two judicial imputations, and we studied the first one last Sunday, judicial imputation number one. The first judicial imputation took place at the cross. There was only one recipient, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was imputed with the sins of the entire human race, and then he was judged for those sins. And yet, not one of those sins, not one thing of which we were guilty, has either antecedent affinity or harmony with the impeccable Son of God. Jesus Christ was sinless perfection. He never even committed one sin. So he has no affinity with the sins of the whole world. He was the impeccable God-man. The perfect humanity of Jesus Christ received this judicial imputation and judgment of all personal sins in history while he was hanging on the cross. These sins of the human race were not antecedently his own, and therefore there was neither affinity, harmony, or congruence between what was imputed and the impeccable, perfect humanity of Christ in hypostatic union. The fact that our Lord was pierced with billions and billions of sins and still remained impeccable is in itself one of the most phenomenal things in all of human history. The justice of God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world and imputed the sins of human history to Christ on the cross. And the scriptures describe it in the Old Testament. He was pierced, and the word there is used of javelins going through your body. And as these billions and billions of sins from the human race were imputed to Christ, it was like he was being hit with javelin after javelin after javelin going through his body. So the justice of God the Father imputed all the sins of human history to Christ on the cross, like javelins, and then he judged every single one of them. This is a judicial imputation, since the sins of the world were not antecedently Christ's own. There is no affinity between the sins of the world and the impeccability of Jesus Christ. every sin in human history were imputed to our Lord and judged by God the Father on the cross. This is the doctrine of unlimited atonement. Christ paid the penalty for the sins of every member of the human race. And that means every member of the human race potentially can have eternal salvation. It just depends on a free will decision to believe in Jesus Christ. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why when Christ was on the cross, he gathered up the sins of all of mankind and poured them out on Christ and judged them in Jesus Christ once and for all. God loved the world so much. That's impersonal love for the whole world. He loved the whole world so much that he gave his Son. He sent his eternal Son from heaven to earth on that first Christmas to take on true humanity, to go to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin. That is impersonal love for all. Why did God do that? Because he would love it. He would wish and desire every member of the human race to believe in Jesus Christ and live forever with him in heaven. That's God's wish and desire. But he gave us a free will. Just like the angels had free will, he has given us a free will, a volition. The angels could choose for God or against him. And we know Lucifer, the star of the morning, started a revolution against God. One third of the angels chose against God, and they are the fallen angels. Now God created man lower than the angels to resolve the angelic conflict. And he's given us a free will just like angels have. And now man can choose for God and believe in Jesus Christ or against God. But God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that is God. God is infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinitely fair with all of his creation. And he loves the whole world with impersonal love. And I listened. We are in serious trouble in the United States of America. And there is a hatred, and throughout this land, a hatred against God, a hatred of God, a hatred of Jesus Christ. A hatred of the Word of God. And they don't even understand that God loved the world, them, so much. These people throughout our land that hate God, hate Christianity, hate Jesus Christ, hate the Word of God. They have no appreciation that God loved them so much, he sent his Son to go to a cross and pay the penalty for all their sins. And then he holds out the gift of eternal life to any of them. It's simply believe in Jesus Christ. So every sin in human history, they were all imputed to our Lord and judged by God the Father on the cross. Unlimited atonement. Through unlimited atonement, Christ removed the barrier of all personal sins from the human race. Through regeneration, Christ removed the barrier of physical birth. Through redemption, he removed the barrier of the curse of the law. Now that brings us to judicial imputation number two. How many judicial imputations are there?
Two.
Two judicial imputations. The judicial imputation of the sins of the world to Christ on the cross, and the judicial imputation of the righteousness of God given to the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Judicial imputation number two. One, at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we exchange our sins for the perfect righteousness of God imputed to us. At salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we exchange our sins. As unbelievers, we are the enemies of God. We are sinners. We are ungodly. And God loved us when we were at our worst. He loved us when we were His enemies. He loved us when we were sinners, spiritually dead, totally depraved. And He loved us so much that He gave His Son, designed Operation Grace, the cross, to solve the whole world's problem of sin. So at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we exchange our sins for the perfect righteousness of God imputed to us. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Second Corinthians 5:21. Verse 21, He, God the Father, made Him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, the impeccability of Jesus Christ, His sinless perfection, to be sin, imputed with the sins of the whole world, on our behalf, as our substitute, to take our place, to take the judgment we deserved, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, the imputed righteousness of God given to the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ. In the judicial imputations, there is no antecedents, no target or home. And therefore, a judicial imputation has one factor. What is being imputed? What was mankind? We were the enemies of God, sinners, ungodly, spiritually dead, totally depraved. And God imputes His righteousness to us because Christ paid the penalty for all of our sins on the cross. Two, judicial imputation number two is one of blessing. Perfect righteousness is imputed to believers at salvation. Judicial imputation number two is one of blessing. Perfect righteousness is imputed to believers at salvation. And who's the pattern for the salvation? For the whole human race? Abraham. And was Abraham a Jew when he believed in Christ? No! He was a Gentile. So all of you Jews out there, Father Abraham was a Gentile when he believed in Christ, not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And that's Genesis 15, verse 6. Abram believed in the Lord, Jesus Christ, and He credited to him as righteousness. Imputed. There's the word for imputation. He imputed it to him as righteousness. Three, this judicial imputation of perfect righteousness establishes a grace pipeline encapsulated by the integrity of God. This judicial imputation of perfect righteousness establishes a grace pipeline encapsulated by the integrity of God. So, here's the cross, Operation Grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, all the sins of the world were imputed to Him. Judicial imputation and judged in Him. And then you simply come to the cross and place your faith. Christ did all the work. You don't do any work. No one will ever be in heaven by the works that they do. Being good, trying to do good works, trying to follow the Mosaic law. No one will be, no Jews will be in heaven by trying to follow the Mosaic law. No Gentiles will be in heaven by human good dead works. The one who did all the work was Jesus Christ. He did all the work. The sins of the world were imputed to Him and judged in Him. Now, you come and you place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. He did all the work. There's nothing you can do. Place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, and at that instant, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God. Now you're encapsulated by the integrity of God. There's no better place to be than encapsulated by the integrity of God. There's something you ought to thank God for every single day. You're encapsulated by the integrity of God. And what does that do? Establishes a grace pipeline. Grace. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve one blessing. This is all because of who and what God is, not who and what we are. And down that grace pipeline from justice to imputed righteousness comes blessing. 40 salvation blessings instantly at the moment of faith in Christ. Logistical grace, blessing, and support keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world. This is the devil's world. And I think you see that. You see that more and more every single day. This is the devil's world. And God gives you logistical grace in the middle of the devil's world to give you the opportunity to grow up. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Advance to spiritual maturity because He really wants to pour out greater grace blessings to you. Greater grace blessings to you right here in the devil's world and time, and greater grace blessings to you at the judgment seat of Christ. So point three. This judicial imputation of perfect righteousness establishes a grace pipeline encapsulated by the integrity of God. Four, grace is the policy of the justice of God in sending blessing to the imputed perfect righteousness of God in us. Grace is the policy of the justice of God in sending blessing to the imputed perfect righteousness of God residing in us. Five. The resident perfect righteousness of God imputed at salvation demands immediately 40 salvation blessings to all believers. To all believers. You don't even know what happened. When I was up, I was saved at a young life camp, and I didn't even know what young life was. I didn't even know what it was. They said, "You're going to go to a young life camp." Okay. I had no idea. I wasn't a person that went to church. I was an unbeliever. I was a good old Gentile sinner. But I had some great coaches. Great coaches in high school and football and track. And my coaches were Christians. My coaches were Christians. When we went in to Joe Albee Stadium to play a football game at Joe Albee Stadium, as our bus turned into Joe Albee, we all started singing, "Onward Christian Soldiers." I don't think they do that anymore. We're going into Joe Albee to play a football game, and we're singing, "Onward Christian Soldiers." I wasn't even saved, but I was singing, "Onward Christian Soldiers," along with everybody else. "40 salvation blessings are given to you at the moment you believe in Christ." I believed in Christ up at Malibu in British Columbia, not California. British Columbia, and I was saved, and I didn't know anything about all of these fantastic blessings God gave me at that instant I believed in Christ. But when I came back and then wound up at Washington State University, God guided me to Bethany Bible Church, fantastic Bible church, excellent Bible teacher, Ron Breckel, and I started to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and I started to learn those 40 salvation blessings. How great that was! How great to learn about all those things that God gave to me the moment I believed in Christ. And then I learned about logistical grace. He was blessing me day after day after day. Food to eat, clothes to wear, transportation, all of these things to keep me alive in the middle of the devil's world so that I could go to Bethany Bible Church, assemble there. Now, great to see all of you chose use your free will to be here this morning. I'll be real honest with you. It's getting harder and harder and harder to find a local church where you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Getting very hard. When you find it, grab a hold of it. Take advantage of it. Because if this nation keeps going the way it's going, one of the things that God does to a nation under the five cycles of discipline, He takes His communicators out. He takes them out. And the Bible says you will go all over looking for grace and truth, and you won't be able to find it. Take advantage of it when you find it. Grab a hold of it. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then if you take advantage of the logistical grace, blessing, and support from God and assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, well, you know what's going to happen? You're going to advance to spiritual maturity. You're going to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You're going to have personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God no matter what's going on. Sharing the happiness of God when you can't afford to put gas in your car. getting pretty close to that. Six, the grace pipeline is insulated. It's insulated against human works. It's insulated against human works or talent or ability. It's called grace for a reason. It's a grace pipeline. Now, we've already studied this. Romans 3:20-24. Because by the works of the law, by the works of the Mosaic law, no one, not one human being, shall be declared righteous or justified. By the works of the Mosaic law, not one human being will be declared righteous, justified in his judgment or thinking. For by means of the law is the knowledge of sin. We have become conscious of sin. Verse 21. But now, the righteousness from the source of God, totally apart from the self-righteous works of the law, has been caused to be revealed, being given as testimony, confirmed by the law and the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures. That is, the righteousness from the source of God by means of faith in Jesus Christ for all the ones who believe, for any member of the human race who believes in Christ. For you see, there is absolutely no distinction. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, come short of the righteousness of God, being declared righteous, receiving justification as a gift by means of His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. We taught that. We studied that, Romans 3. And then Romans 4. We studied again, Romans 4, 3 through 5. Indeed, what does the Scripture say? A quotation from Genesis 15, 6. Now Abraham believed in the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it, his faith in Christ, was imputed to him for righteousness. But the one who works for salvation, his payment, his reimbursement, absolutely is not credited according to the norms and standards of grace, but according to the norms and standards of debt. Verse 5, but to the one who does not work for salvation, but believes in the one who justifies, declares righteous the unbeliever, his faith in Christ is credited to him for righteousness. So Paul has been teaching this in chapter 3 and chapter 4, and now near the end of chapter 4 he is still communicating this. Seven, if God can impute his perfect righteousness to us at salvation, when we were his enemies and sinners and spiritually dead and totally depraved, if God can impute his perfect righteousness to us at salvation, faith in Christ, when we were his enemies and spiritually dead, totally depraved, then he can certainly bless us when we are his royal family. He can bless us because he has established that grace pipeline. Justice on one end, imputed righteousness on the other end. So if God can impute his perfect righteousness to us at salvation when we were his enemies, then he can certainly bless us when we are his royal family. Eight, therefore, the imputation of perfect righteousness establishes the potential for great blessing in your life. Therefore, the imputation of perfect righteousness establishes the potential for great blessing in your life. 9, the imputation of perfect righteousness at salvation becomes both motivation and momentum in your spiritual life. The imputation of perfect righteousness of salvation becomes both motivation and momentum in your spiritual life. Motivation to persist in living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Momentum for continuing to get maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. 10, the result is the attainment of spiritual maturity and glorifying God. That's why we're here. We're here on this planet, this little puny planet Earth, for a short time. Why are you here? To glorify God. That's why you're here. As all of us as believers in Jesus Christ, we're here to glorify God. And the result is the attainment of spiritual maturity, and you glorify God right here in the devil's world. And that pisses the devil off. So why not piss him off? Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Reach spiritual maturity. Glorify God here in the middle of the devil's world, and then glorify Him forever and ever and ever. Romans 4:22. Therefore also it, faith in Christ, was imputed to him, Abraham, as righteousness, divine righteousness from God. Now, in verses 23 and 24, we have the purpose of Abraham as the pattern for salvation. And that's in Romans 4, 23 and 24. Well, I'm going to stop there. We'll start in the second class. Give you 15 minutes. Go out and cool off if you want to go outside. One thing, if you are a smoker, you don't have to have a match. Just go outside and it'll probably start right away. We'll see you in 15 minutes.